A raft, suggested Gendry. Anyone can build a raft, and long poles for pushing. Welcome to the White Wolf Podcast, the original A Game of Thrones LCG podcast. Founded in 2010 as Two Chimps and a Chump, we thought it best to rename and rebrand ourselves freshly just in time for the game to keep the same in second edition. Tune in each week for your dose of strategy, discussion, jokes, and good old geek culture. A huge thank you goes out to GRRM for his amazing novels, FFG for this fantastic game, Card Game DB for getting us a start, and you, our loyal listeners, for sticking through thick and thin. Check us out on our website, Facebook, or Twitter, or email us at contact@whitewolfpodcast.com and rate us on iTunes. This CC licensed music is Town Function by Spinoza. You know, just helping everyone have their yearly reminder that somewhere out there, Gendry is still rowing, still pushing. And, you know, now is our time to check back in with him.
Word is he's coming back.
Row your boat gently down the stream.
That's what the rumor mill says.
Merrily, merrily, life is but a dream.
Yeah, we could do a whole round of that and the listeners would eat us.
I know.
Be very Star Trek 5 of us.
I love it.
The best Star Trek.
That is a matter
know.
Of opinion.
I think that would be Star Trek the motion picture.
The original? No.
No.
No. No.
Oh, man. No love for V'ger. I mean, that is pretty good.
Okay, hold on.
Oh, wow.
That's
this
Star
is
Trek 3. Four.
We've listed all the worst ones.
Yeah, the Voyage Home.
Is the comedy.
Yeah.
Okay. And then 5.
Hello,
is,
computer.
5's the last one with the original cast, right?
That's Final Frontier, and no, the original
no, there's
cast
Undiscovered
is
Country,
six, which is pretty it's, decent,
yep.
actually.
Yep.
It's 6. Okay, yeah, no. The 6, yeah, Undiscovered Country is pretty good.
The rule is the even ones are okay.
Oh, yeah. Yeah, that makes sense. I mean, no. Okay, well, I guess. I mean, depends on whether or not what your opinion of Star Trek Generations is. I find that movie charming.
I liked it. Yeah.
It's not like great or even necessarily good, but it's charming.
And then you run into some weird stuff with Insurrection and Nemesis, both of which were actually not good.
I don't think the Next Generation characters count.
Well.
I mean, First Contact was great.
It was, but in terms of the rule of the evens and odds and in terms of the – I don't know. They're not a numbered part of the series.
That's true.
Okay. Welcome to your Star
so what
Trek
you're
podcast.
Telling me, the line must be drawn.
So we're going to be talking about the Star Trek CCG. What missions are you running in your deck?
Speaking of I don't know contact, how those work, but I have a friend that said he's going to teach me.
I haven't played that game in – a long time in a galaxy far, far away. So I
that is the wrong genre.
Now I'm all sorts of confused. Dear listeners, join me in confusion on episode 282 of The White Book.
I'm Roy Rogers.
Along with my co-hosts. There we go.
I'm still Tommy and equally confused.
Good, good. We're all on the same page here. None of us can read it, but we're on it.
But we're in a new chapter as well.
Exactly. This is a new chapter of the White Book.
This is becoming psychedelic
really
for somebody that's listening.
I know.
Hello, new listeners. We are friendly. Just when Banter Behind the Throne relaunched to be new listener friendly, the White Book has gone off the deep end.
And yes, your walls are bleeding.
Wait, what? I don't even know that reference.
Trainspotting reference.
Oh, yeah. Never seen it.
This is some great banter.
It's worth a watch if you haven't
honestly,
seen it.
Honestly, it's great for us. It's terrible for listeners.
We've subjected them to roughly 4 minutes of this. If they're still listening, and please, I hope you're still listening, I say we should probably move on.
But now they know what it's like to hang out at the bar with us.
Yeah, that's always a good one. I would try and get folks to show up to our store championship to do some of that, but they'll be listening to this a week after that store championship. So, perils of the new release system.
Our fancy new professional release system.
Professional. Hope folks are still liking it. Let us know. Okay, so what we're looking to do in this week, listeners, is checking back in with Gendry while he rose, so to speak. We've reached what should be the end of store championship season, or at least by the time you listen to this, it's essentially done. And between the three of us, we've played in about 10 store championships. So I think we've got a good little bit to talk about what we're seeing in the meta, things that surprised us, what we played, how we did, that type of thing. So, yeah, we're going to be a little more freeform after a couple more structured episodes we've had lately. But we'll kind of dig in. And I think from chatting earlier that we're looking at doing this in order of who played in the most store championships, or rather starting with who played in the least. So I believe that was Tommy, right?
Yep, that's right. I had a much less active season than I would have liked and than I have had in the past. I was only able to play in the Windy City Winter Cup as well as one store championship. There was also a considerable break or so it felt like in between, although on the calendar it probably wasn't that big of a break. It just felt like a big gap because I haven't gotten to play hardly as much Thrones as I would like I said. But I played the same archetype of deck in both events. It was a Lanny Reigns of Castamere with a Jumpers theme. I made some significant adjustments between the Windy City Cup and the Store Championship. I believe I Tyrioned at the Windy City Cup and wanted to do better, felt a little economy hamstrung, and did my best to overcome that and ended up top fouring in my store championship, which I was really pleased with given the lack of lack of prep and just amount of repetitions that I did not put in. But the meta overall was kind of what I expected. I saw lots of Greyjoy, lots of saves, aggressive Valoring, which was nice to see because it was kind of a throwback to the way that Greyjoy played in 1.0. So of course, I'm thrilled about that because I was very much looking forward to Valor making its splash in the meta. But I did get wrecked by We Do Not So, blowing up my Harrenhal. I did learn and start duping them. And my worst loss, though, was definitely one where I got two of those in the same game. And it was just too high of an economy hill to climb back into. I did lose in the top four, and I believe it was to a Greyjoy Winter. But overall, I've been having more fun in the games that I have been able to get to play recently than I had been for the entirety of 2.0. So no complaints here, and I'm kind of excited to see what comes next.
So quick question, Tommy. What kind of build of Lannister Reigns were you running? Were you running the more control build that sort of like Dave Strom's sort of popularized after Red Saturday, or the sort of more aggro-y, more clansman-heavy version?
I would certainly say that it was much more control-based, and I was taking advantage of Harrenhal and Tower of the Hand, like I said, bouncing characters in and out, and then playing lots of resets in my plot deck. And I suppose that outside of the jumper cards, there wasn't very much aggro involved in what I was doing, and surprisingly less spot removal than I had in my original build that I played at Windy City Cup. I dialed that back because it seemed like with being able to manipulate the claim and take advantage of my agenda better. I didn't need as much of that removal, especially combined with the resets that I was able to include in the deck. So,
cool. What ended up winning your Star Championship?
I'm pretty sure it was a Greyjoy Winter. I unfortunately didn't get to stay until the finals were complete. I had to leave after my game in the top four. But
gotcha.
Any idea on what was that, Will?
Oh, I was going to say what remainder of the top four was.
I believe that it was a Lanny Winter and two Greyjoy Winters.
Ooh, lots of winter in Chicago.
Yeah, it was pretty early in the season for both the Windy City Cup as well as the store championship that I got to play in. So I think that people were still kind of staying in their comfort zone a little bit.
Right on.
Definitely a fun deck to play, though.
Anything?
I would recommend anybody that hasn't taken the opportunity to do the jumping. And I was initially scared off by the cost of the locations, but with Lannister, everything's possible. You got to believe that. So it was a lot of fun.
That's another great t-shirt slogan, I think.
Yeah.
With Lannister, anything is possible.
Yeah, that's what I believe.
We may have to look at doing that one.
Well, I'll buy one.
Awesome. Well, gosh, does that send it over to me already then?
I think so, Will.
Yeah. Well, I've been on a bit of a control kick lately with the reintroduction of Valor Morghulis into the metagame. And of course, for quite a while now, I'd been saying that Valor was kind of the card that Tyrell needed to give them a push to really take advantage of their resources, both gold and card. And so that's what I kind of jumped in on. I wanted to try and take a look at playing Tyrell control so far in two store championships. Though I have a third coming up in between the time we record this and the time that it airs. I do think I'll be taking Tyrell there as well. It may be a little less control-y of a build, so we'll see. I haven't settled on what that will be, but at first I took Tyrell Sun down, I suppose, from where I am to Tulsa, and then took Tyrell Stag up to Kansas City. And I do like how that feels in general, playing Tyrell control with the Arbor, with pleasure barges and things like that. And just my pacing feels in a lot of ways where I want it to be. Unfortunately, something that I discovered in both of those, I actually had kind of a weird situation pop up in both of them because it played out almost exactly the same way. I got paired up against a rushy Lords of the Crossing deck during Swiss, which beat me. Then I made the cut to the top four and was paired against the same single deck that beat me in Swiss. And then also lost to it again and was eliminated. So I've got to say, Rush, even with Valor in the meta, Rush is way more of a force than I was expecting. So I'd say that's one of my biggest observations at the moment about where things stand.
Sounds like that was pretty bad luck getting matched up against that both times, though.
Yeah, just crazy. One was Stark Crossing that went on to win in Tulsa, and then the other was Greyjoy Crossing in Kansas City, which of course then went to the finals, but it lost to Martell Crossing in the finals.
Which one did you think was better?
Rush is pretty good, right?
That of the two that I played against?
Yeah.
I do think probably the Stark. I think it has a better icon spread, and I think Rob gives it a lot of legs when you do manage to kill a character through all the saves, because what really gave me pause is that both of these decks ended the first turn marshaling with three or four saves in all four games, which made it pretty hard to leverage Valor into a favorable position. But the Stark just has better icon diversity. I was able to keep the Greyjoy guy off of intrigue challenges for several turns. He still came over the top in the end, but I felt like I stood a chance more against the Greyjoy deck than I did against Stark.
So the other question that I had for you was, how many Arbors and how many Pleasure Barges were you playing?
Oh, three each.
Good.
Three each. I figured. In testing beforehand, I had only been running two Pleasure Barges, but I just constantly wanted them. I was kind of begging for them, especially when I'm running double resets. Like, I want my hand full because I'm chewing up my own characters fairly quickly too. So for a little while, I tried it out with two building orders and just the two Pleasure Barges while it was an X-Sun deck, so that I could also grab icon attachments and stuff. But eventually I dropped it back down to one building orders and just bit the bullet and went with three of the Pleasure Barges.
Was the feel kind of...
Also, I had somebody talk me into dropping... Oh, go ahead.
I was going to say, was the feel kind of predictable that the closing power with the Baratheon version and the control with the Sun version was superior in each? Did you have trouble closing with the Sun version and trouble with enough control in the Bear version and vice versa?
I don't really think so. I think the two versions had very similar amounts of control, and I would say the closing power by and large was virtually the same between the two builds, because that was really on the back of the Tyrell characters. But I had swapped to Baratheon because my thought was, in general, the Neil is going to do more work to take those rush characters out and buy me time than the icon removal. If I, you know, since I found that to be a real issue with kind of the rush thing, kneeling the character for sure takes them out of however many challenges they had icons for, you know, barring some kind of stand or a cancel or whatever, versus Nymeria or a removal attachment or something generally leaves them still able to make a challenge and get renown, which can be an issue. So,
yeah.
Also, what I started to say a moment ago is someone, I forget for certain now who it was, because I had been talking to several folks and tested with folks, but someone had talked me into dropping Milk of the Poppy in favor of Nightmares in the deck. And it's weird. I'm kind of two minds. On the one hand, I've sort of come around on Nightmares in second edition. I was kind of down on it actually costing a gold for a while, but I really saw its utility in all of the games except these important ones I lost. Nightmares, I thought, was phenomenal and fantastic. On the other hand, in the games I did lose, I sat there looking at my hand and going, man, I wish I could just milk him and not have to deal with his renown for several turns instead of just one phase. So, you know, your mileage may vary.
You could, Will, run both.
I could. And it's sort of been on my mind, you know, for our store championship this weekend, do I stick with some version of Tyrell control, and do I just tech it hard to take out, you know, rushy Lord of the Crossing builds? It's definitely on my mind.
I feel like a five-card mix of the two is good. Like, if you think you're going to see a lot of Night's Watch, maybe three Nightmares, two Milks. If you don't think you're going to see as much, maybe three Milks, two Night's Watches. Seems a good bet to sort of, as both spot control, because the great thing about Nightmares is you can hit those locations, and then sort of keep the renown of Stark suppressed, keep Lannister suppressed a little bit, and of course Baera with that ability to milk Bob, milk Mel kind of situation. So I really like running that, like, five card module of either three Milks, two Nightmares, or vice versa.
You know, it's funny you mentioned that in regards to the locations and Night's Watch. That definitely had a big hand in me making the switch to Nightmares, right? Night's Watch was making this big push and everything. And how many Night's Watch were in either of the store championships I've gone to so far? Not just that I played, but were in? Zero. So just interesting.
Very, you know, different
now,
than here.
Now I start wondering what happens next week. Does everyone now bring Night's Watch? Or am I reading too deep into this? Are they just going to keep doing what they were doing? I don't know.
I mean, Night's Watch is good. We've seen a lot of it here on the East Coast, so I'm surprised that you guys haven't seen more in the out west.
I really expected to. Yeah, I'm surprised too. All right, well, I will definitely take that under advisement going forward. We may chat more about it after the episode to detail things going forward. But in the actual tournaments I've played in, those were kind of some of my top observations. Night's Watch, nowhere to be seen against all expectations, and Rush, much stronger than expected, kind of against many expectations.
Cool. Very different sort of meta than we had out here in the East.
Yeah, how did things go on the East Coast? I think a little on-air congratulations is in order. I don't think we've done so yet for you, Roy.
Yeah.
You took one down, didn't you?
I did. I definitely appreciate that. Yeah, I finally was able to sort of cross that threshold of winning the store championship. I won a small store championship out here in Pennsylvania. And I managed to actually did a little math while you guys were talking. I managed to make it to 5 store championships this season, plus a couple game night kits in between, including some of the bigger ones that we've had out here on the East Coast. When I won my store championship, I was playing Stark. I don't really need to talk about the deck because it was literally the deck that Darknaj played at Gen Con. He built it out of at Red Saturday. He literally built it out of my card collection the night before Red Saturday, and I literally just took that deck with me.
Oh, wow. Not even the same list, but really, truly, physically the same cards.
It's literally the same cards. It's literally the same
I love games.
It could, because I'm and I'll talk a little bit more about this in Props and Slops. I'm going to be at Thrones War the weekend that this episode airs, and I'm on Team Stark, and I needed to practice Stark. So I've been playing Stark all store championship season, except for one time I played Night's Watch right before the sort of teams were announced for that. I didn't know what team I was going to be on. Yeah, so I played Stark. Stark, I think, is actually in a pretty decent place in the metagame. I think the win out in Oklahoma definitely shows that. We had a Stark win a store championship out here. And of course, I want a big store championship here, and I want a smaller one. But I think out here, the main thing is it's definitely the rise of Night's Watch is a big deal out here on the East Coast. It's a consistent presence in the metagame. It won the very first New York City store championship. One of my friends, Scott, ran through the Brotherhood guys, I think including the world champion, I can't remember, with Night's Watch. It's always up there. There's at least one or two Night's Watch decks usually in the top half of the Swiss. So it's definitely a presence. The other thing would be, of course, Greyjoy. We have a lot of Greyjoy out here. Up in Boston, Than won with his Greyjoy Reigns, which I think is kind of loosely based off the deck that was coming out of England, thanks to Craven and some other wins out in Europe. And then came in second at the largest store championship on the East Coast in New Jersey. So it's a very solid deck out here too. But also, Dan Struhal dreamed up a sort of more control-y, mini-curve, Greyjoy winter deck that won the Uncommon store championship that I ran last weekend. And it's a really interesting deck.
Ooh.
It's got a little bit of unopposed tech. It does a really good job of sort of playing from behind a little bit, or seemingly from behind. The thing I love about Dan is Dan plays kind of like aggro decks in a control way, I guess would be the way to put it, where he's constantly keeping the pressure on you. He's not trying to overrun you with Renown or overrun you with puts or hyper kill, but he's just he's consistently putting pressure on an opponent's play, on an opponent, until they screw up. And then Dan, who's one of the best Thrones players I've ever seen, can just take advantage of those mistakes to close out a game. Dan's still, I know, refining the deck, so I don't want to spoil too much because he may take it to regional with him, but it doesn't run Balon. Like, that shows you how different of a Greyjoy deck it is.
Oh, it's really hard for me to imagine passing him up.
Well, I mean, he beat the reigning world champion with that deck at our store championship in a really awesome game. That was really fun to watch, actually. Much more fun, actually, than Joe's final game in actual worlds, but to watch. But yeah, Greyjoy, Night's Watch. I feel like I had one more point. Oh, the utter collapse of Martell in the East, I guess, would also be here, out here. Martell just did not have a good store championship season here, which I think follows broader meta changes here, or broader meta changes throughout the world. There we go. That's what I wanted to say. That's the articulate way to put it.
Yeah, I mean, it feels like it's been headed that direction for Martell. which I guess maybe explains a good little bit of hype and congratulations to Caleb that won the KC tournament with Martel Crossing, which was honestly a fairly control-y kind of build with a lot of Aria Hota use and whatnot and Gaston and things like that. So I don't know. I think I may need to play a little more Martel myself.
I mean, I'll be completely honest. I think it's entirely based on how much Night's Watch is floating around. Like, Martel's a pretty good answer to a lot of other stuff in the meta, particularly, like, Greyjoy. It can definitely lock down more traditionalist Greyjoy builds. But, like, just Night's Watch makes Martel so sad.
Yeah, that, and you know, that probably has a big hand in it since we've turned out to not have Night's Watch at all down here.
Yeah, so I mean, so that means if guys, if you are flying into Springfield, bring Night's Watch. That's what we're saying here. Just bring Night's Watch and go in.
Exactly.
And go in and tell players. The other thing I've totally forgot, and I think it, to mention in sort of my sense of what's going on right now, I also think Renown is back hardcore as an important, important keyword, which is really interesting, I think, because Valor, I think for a little while, devalued Renown, which sort of gave rise to the stall decks. But now that the stall decks have sort of firmly cemented themselves back into the metagame, you know, in the metagame on the back of Valor, on the back of the strong cards that Night's Watch got, and the fact that Barrett just remains good, Renown is important again. The ability to outrace a Night's Watch deck, the ability to out-renown a Barrett Dom deck, is really, really crucial. And like, this is why you see like the Brotherhood guys have been having a lot of success out here with a Tyrell Lanny and deck that, you know, is just literally running every card in Tyrell and Lannister that has Renown printed on it, right? That's legal, of course, in the deck. Like, so like Brienne's and Jaime's and Mountains and all that, and all that, like just so much Renown. Even the Clansmen, you know, like Chella, like you just slap Renown bodies. And if you Valor some of them away, well, I've got four other ones in my deck that I'll just power through because I can draw so many cards with Tyrell. Like that kind of strategy in Stark, like the Stark Crossing that you ran into, right? It's a similar strategy, right? You just play everything with Renown, you protect the Renown, and then you just go. Is a really powerful strategy as well right now, I think, directly in the fact, in the response to the rise of Stall. And so that's kind of interesting.
Yeah, it's really turning out easier to protect that Renown in the Valor metagame than I was really expecting. So, I mean, I know in our review we did kind of pan that plot. What was it from the last pack that discards duplicates? But I'm seeing so many of them floating around right now. I'm still sort of thinking about playing that and giving it a try, you know? It's probably a bad idea.
I think, what do you cut for it, though? There's so many, I don't know.
Yeah, I don't know what you do either.
Like, what do you cut? There's just, I think, other plots that put a little bit more immediate pressure. I mean, if you catch someone's Valor who's expecting duplicates, that's awesome. But if you don't, I don't know. I feel, I don't know. I don't hate the plot, and I'm sure someone will find a really good way to use it, but I just don't think it's consistent enough right now to make my plot decks. But I'm not a great deck builder, so.
Just get Nodge to build decks and leave them for you.
Yes, I saw them in both variants. I saw Banner Stag and just a Barra Dom deck, both of which were really good. I think actually the more morally reprehensible deck, in my opinion, is actually Lanny Stag, which is just an obnoxious deck. It runs because Tywin in a Dom deck is better than Robert in many cases. And I think in many ways, in the long term, that dominance package in the Banner of Stag / Barra is probably, I will buy Joe up from Cincinnati's line there. I think even more than Night's Watch, it's more of a problem, I'd say. Like, particularly Lanny's deck. I hate that deck. It's definitely a straight-up answer to Night's Watch. If you hate Night's Watch, play Barra, particularly, or play Lanny's deck, and they'll always, you'll just run right over those stall decks because you're the ultimate stall deck.
I'd be interested to see it some more. I mean, I'm aware that someone was playing a variation on it of some kind in Kansas City, but I think she kind of finished in the middle of the pack, and I did not personally play against her. I almost wish Kristen was home tonight because I know they did play. Yeah, because my wife did play in the KC Store Championship, so props to her for that. I know we're not at Props and Slops yet, but whatever. But I don't know. That's an interesting philosophical thought there about whether the dominance decks or the wall style decks are kind of worse for the game in general. I think I'm still tempted to say the wall style decks, but I may need to play against the dominance decks more. The guy that had fiddled with that some here locally kind of abandoned it for greener pastures a while back. So it's been some time. I mean, in a vacuum, I feel like the deck that keeps people from making challenges or making effective challenges is more likely to feel worse to opponents and feel more like the dreaded negative play experience or NPE. But the dominance deck feels like you would still be able to attempt to make challenges and try to interact more that way. So I don't know. Well, I mean, I think that's a reasonable little snapshot for listeners, little insight of kind of how things went for us. What we've been seeing, obviously, some things surprised us from some of the early calls that we were making on here. Some things less so. I'm just waiting for the first listener that accused me of downplaying Tyrell and then choosing to play them myself all through store championship season. That'll be a fun conversation. But I guess in a lot of ways, my biggest takeaway in the end is that even with the increased kind of global conversation, you know, in the Facebook group, more podcast listenership, more deck sharing through ThronesDB, better analysis and easy access to tournament reporting and, you know, things with the Annals and Jousting Pavilion. Even with all of these things, to kind of try to push a certain sort of hive mind, homogenous environment, we still ran into some real regional distinctions. So what you might make out of that, I don't know, but I think that's my biggest takeaway, is that your own area will still surprise you.
Absolutely.
Yep, real fair.
Props and slops.
Props and slops. So let's just slop technology first, right, guys?
Yes.
Yes, indeedy. Listeners are probably going to be wondering why this episode is only like 45 minutes or so, maybe less by the time it's edited, and that is due to a nightmare of a time with Zencaster this week.
It just didn't like us. It didn't like the mini reunion of Team Left.
Yeah, less than an hour of recording.
Now, can you imagine if we tried to add Aaron?
Yeah, as you were saying, Tommy, like, what? We started this 9 p.m. EST, and it's now probably by the time we finish about 11:30 p.m. EST.
Yep.
So.
Yeah. And that's with us trying to have a faster, you know, pace of actual discussion. So it's tough.
Yeah. Fuck the technology.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah.
Well, I do have one very important prop, though, that I need to make sure I get out of the way, which is that I need to prop Chris Schoenthal, the reigning U.S. national champion, because the only reason I'm able to attend Thrones War, which will begin the Friday that this comes out, is because Chris was willing to help make it possible by helping me with my plane tickets. And then Ryan Jones, longtime world champion, is putting me up, just making it really possible for me to join in what looks like it's going to be a really amazing experience. So I want to prop both of those gentlemen, particularly Chris, but also Ryan, for really just making it possible for me to have what I'm sure will be a really amazing weekend. It just sort of shows the generosity of the Thrones community, you know, because I'm not the longest term Thrones player on this podcast, much less that's going to Thrones War, but both of those gentlemen went out of their way to make sure that it was something that I would be capable of doing. So I'm immensely grateful, and I want to make sure that I can make that as public and as loud as possible.
Yeah, those guys are the best. That's you're gonna have a great time.
Phenomenal.
Yeah, I'm Heck really looking forward to it. I will have a full report for the white book when I get back.
So speaking of guys that are great, I gotta get my prop out of the way too. To a longtime friend of the show and fan favorite Daryl Lloyd, I was able to hang out with him this past weekend. He came out to Chicago. His girlfriend Robin was up here for something for school, so he and I got to meet up and do some day drinking in Chicago. His first time in Chicago, so that was awesome. Always great to see Daryl, and he's the best.
Yeah, yeah. He's always a good time to hang out with. I got to see him very briefly over my lunch hour today. What in the world would I prop at this point? On the one hand, I want to prop IKEA. It's always fun to wander around, and damned if those cinnamon rolls aren't delicious. On the other hand, I do sort of want to slop them. We bought a IKEA desk for Kristen and some knickknacks, and I finally broke down and decided I needed better game storage, and so I bought a ginormous 5x5 Calyx shelving unit, which are those cube storage bin sort of units. So a 5x5 is pretty big, which means it's, well, number one, a nightmare to put together, and number two, heavy as all get out. So once it was put together, there was no way it was budging from the floor. I had to call people over just to help lift it. Once it was up, then it was no big deal. So there you go. Props and slops both to IKEA.
I always slop IKEA. As I say this with everything that I own in this apartment is IKEA. But, oh my god, the experience of going to IKEA. Ugh. I love IKEA. Oh, Alice says she loves IKEA, so she'll prop IKEA.
You know, I should have been measuring. I'm leaning towards IKEA. And the instructions weren't even bad. Like, I didn't have trouble reading or following them, but there was a lot to do.
Oh, yeah. I want to prop snow days. Snow days are great. Yeah, particularly when they announce them the night before, so you don't have to. You can go to bed knowing you get a free day off. That's really nice.
Yeah, you don't even have to care.
In fact, right now, I'm turning my alarm off. It's gonna be nice. Doing it now. Oh yeah, that feels good. All right.
I think we should close a very, very painful chapter of the White Book.
Danger Zone.